It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. And ladies and gentlemen, he is still locked down in Brooklyn. Good morning, Arthur.
Lockdown, yes.
Yes.
Not solitary confinement,
no.
Thank God. But yeah, you caught me. I thought I should do this before I get on the air, but did I do it? I'm making crepes.
Ooh.
I just flipped a crepe.
Did you flip
it? I'm going to turn the heat off now and finish this later. But I wanted to try. So, yeah, we're in lockdown, which also, I'm running out of food. I'm not joking. Even though I wrote the book, What to Cook, when you think there's nothing in the house to eat, right now, I'd be eating only carbohydrates.
You know, that's what
I don't even have any of those.
I had some fusilli pasta last night with a little bit of garlic and olive oil.
Listen, I adore pasta, but I don't want to eat it two meals a day for days on end. And that's what you're sort of stuck with if you can't get fruit and vegetables, which are, as I've mentioned before, the hardest thing to acquire. Where I live, nobody is delivering. Fortunately, yesterday, after I was fetching to my godson and his wife, who live on 106th and Broadway, and somehow have managed to get Max's parents' food in Brooklyn. You know, it's not like a wasteland here. It's 2.8 million people. But you have to go into a grocery in order to get anything, and none of us want to do that. So somehow Jane has been getting Fresh Direct to deliver to her in-laws in Brooklyn. And I am actually had just paid $90 to Fresh Direct for delivery for a year, because I just rediscovered Fresh Direct and had a really good experience. So I thought, oh, well, you know, even though I love to shop, this is a good thing to have if you need it. And who knew that we would need it? We went into lockdown the day that my credit card was charged with their delivery fee for a year. I have not been able to get a delivery. So Jane says, oh, you have to get on. 2 weeks ago, she said, you have to get on just before 12 because they post the next day of delivery at noon. So I get on about a quarter of 12. I keep going back and forth every few minutes and finally gave up at 20 after 12. Yesterday, she tells me, well, they've changed it. Now they post the new day at midnight. But I'm a privileged customer because we've been getting, you know, regular Fresh Direct deliveries now for several years. And interestingly, my nephew, who also gets Fresh Direct deliveries automatically for the last several years, has been dropped from his Philadelphia Fresh Direct list because they have, I don't know, whatever the reason. So finally, Jane managed to get me a delivery for this Thursday afternoon. Meantime, meat's the easy thing, but try to find the whole chicken. One of my friends called on Saturday and said, do you know where I might find a whole chicken? I said, I don't know, you know, the likely places. And she'd been to the likely places, and there were no whole chickens. So I decided, you know what, I need whole chickens in my life. So I ordered a couple from D'Artagnan, whose chickens I buy even when I'm in the supermarket. Now, many of my supermarkets carry D'Artagnan brand ducks, well, really all kinds of poultry, but they also have pork products like different kinds of ham and bacon and sausage. And D'Artagnan is named, of course, for one of the Three Musketeers. It's owned by a woman I've known since she was a teenager, and now she's, as I keep saying, all the young people are old now. She's got to be in her 50s. Ariane Dagan, whose father, died only fairly recently, was a very famous and very accomplished and very nice man, chef in the southwest of France, at where Ariane grew up. Hence the Three Musketeers and D'Artagnan. So just thought I'd throw that in. So at your next cocktail party sometime in a year from now. yeah. Although I have a cousin who's been doing internet cocktail parties. I don't know what they're using, Zoom or Skype or whatever, but like three or four couples get together and they all make the same cocktail. So I think somebody's in charge of finding a cocktail of the week, and they all so they have that thing in common, and they sit around and they talk. A lot of that going on around here. Anyway, no chickens. So I got a couple of D'Artagnan chickens, and while I was at it, of course, I got some steaks. And I thought, we haven't had bacon in a long time, and we need treats these days. And Bob just discovered, this is unbelievable to me, he only this week discovered that people eat bacon with sugar. you know, like,
yeah.
You know, you bake the bacon with brown sugar on top, and then he was watching a cooking show, something he normally would not do. He was watching a cooking show, and she was going to put bacon jam on a sandwich. So we had to watch what went into a bacon jam. And, you know, basically it's three kinds of sugar plus bacon. She had a brown sugar, I don't remember if it was honey or maple syrup, and molasses, something like that. Doesn't matter, I'm not eating it. So then the other thing that's really, it's not strange, I don't think, that all the stores are out of yeast and flour, because if you look at Facebook, you'll find that, which I know you do, if you look at Facebook, at least in my feed, everybody's baking bread. And by the way, everybody's baking the same bread, and it's the no-knead bread that ran in the New York Times a zillion years ago. I forget, it's based on a very famous baker's bread, but the article itself was written by Mark Bittman. You can easily find it on the internet because, in fact, according to Sam Sifton of the New York Times, who's the food editor, it's the most popular recipe that they've run in you know, maybe ever, especially now, because everybody's baking it. So there's no yeast, although I have a friend who has commercial baking supply connections, and she got a commercial supply of yeast, and she's baking. She's an art teacher, by the way, in the public schools, and she still has classes on the internet. She says she's working harder now than she was when she was in the classroom. Anyway, she's baking bread, and so she ordered all this yeast, and she offered me some. I would pull over in my car, and through the window, I would get a little bag of yeast, but I decided I have some homemade pizza dough in the freezer, and that will have to do for now, because I'm out of bread. We have two end slices of bread, not of good bread. I'm going to do something with that today. You become very frugal when you can't go to the grocery store and just get what you want.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I mean, I'm down to, three slices of rye bread, and I'm trying to figure out how best to use them.
Well, one and a half sandwiches or three open-faced sandwiches.
There you go. That's what I'm going to do, three open-faced sandwiches.
Yeah, so I'm making, I have no white flour left except for cake flour, which is why I made this chiffon cake twice. I reported on it last week. I made it again, this time with the orange zest. Interesting, the orange made a big difference when the cake was very fresh. But the next day, when the cake was still, you know, was certainly fine enough to eat, the orange aroma dissipated. But I don't know. If it wasn't these times, I probably wouldn't be making that cake. So, although I'm tempted to try it one more time, blah, blah. Oh, so the cocoa, I thought my cake, the first one, was superior to the second one, and it was, I'm sure, the cocoa. And the second one was made with ordinary Hershey's cocoa, which I didn't think was very interesting as a chocolate flavor. But in trying to find the Caffarel cocoa that I had just used up in the first cake, I went online and I found the whole tasting, you know, notes from a tasting of cocos, and it ends up Drosty and Hershey's came out top. Hershey's says the untreated and regular cocoa, as they called it, and Drosty as the treated cocoa. And what's the difference? Don't ask me. I always think that regular cocoa has more zip to it, but I'm not sure that's true. Anyway, I made crepes because I do have whole wheat flour. Now, I've never made a whole wheat crepe. And what I have to put in the crepes is I had bought last week some really good sliced ham, cured ham. French, I have to add. It's really not boar's head, but if I had that, I would use it. But I happen to have access to this really good ham. And we have a Gruyere, so it's sliced Gruyere from the deli, which makes my life easier today. Although if you had a hunk of Gruyere, you could grate it. Anyway, I'm going to make ham and cheese crepes. I have no bread, so it can't be ham and cheese sandwiches. And I did want to feature the ham and the cheese because we need some protein sources other than eggs. And I just made the whole wheat crepes literally minutes before I went on the air. And as we came on the air, I was cooking the second one. You know, the first one, when you make even regular crepes or pancakes or whatever, the first one is never the best. So now let me taste the second one. With ham and cheese will be very good. It was good. So let me give you the recipe. I just made this up this morning. As I said, I only have whole wheat flour, so there's 1 cup of whole wheat flour, 1 cup of milk, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of water, of cold water. I used 1/2 teaspoon of salt because I'm going to make savory crepes, but if you were making sweet crepes, I would reduce the salt to 1/4 teaspoon and add as much as 2 teaspoons or even 1 tablespoon of sugar. And 2 tablespoons of melted butter. You put all the ingredients except the butter in a bowl. And with my whisk, I just whisk them all together. That's flour, water, milk, egg, 2 eggs, whole eggs, salt. And then stir in the butter. So it's well incorporated. Now, even with regular, you can put, by the way, you can do all this in the blender. I wasn't going to dirty a blender. I'd rather dirty a bowl. The bowl goes, anyway. So I whisk these together, not vigorously, gently, just to mix them all together. And then you let it sit. Even when you make regular crepes, you should let the batter sit for a little bit. Because when you're mixing it all together, especially if you use a blender, You're working up the gluten in the flour. Gluten's a protein, by the way. And I think, I didn't look at the bag or anything to make comparisons, but I think whole wheat flour has a little less gluten than all-purpose flour. But I still let this sit for 10 minutes, 15 minutes before I got on the air. I made the first one just as you were ringing the phone, and then taking the second one off. I pour so that you have a nice batter here. And I must say, I like, you know, as somebody who eats almost exclusively whole wheat breads or whole grain breads and doesn't have a taste much for white bread anymore unless it's in Naples or or some extraordinary crusty loaf. I have one here in the neighborhood that I like, sadly, Runner and Stone. They're closed for the coronavirus. I'm not sure why the bakery. Some of the bakeries are still working, and I can buy really good bread usually. Anyway, no bread in the house, so we're going to have ham and cheese crepes. I'm going to fold a slice of ham and a slice of cheese inside a crepe. I'll put them in a buttered gratin dish and stick them in the oven until the cheese is melted, and that's it.
Do you make your crepes really thin?
So I do. So this, I used a scant 1/4 cup of batter in my smallest non-stick pan. I'm going to measure it right this minute. That's if I can find the ruler. Here it is. No, that's not it. Here it is. And I think this is making 5-inch crepes, but I'll tell you in a second. The pan is making 6-inch crepes. So my pan, rim to rim, is 8 inches. So they probably call it an 8-inch pan. But what I do is I pour when the pan's nicely, it's a no-stick pan. When the pan's nicely heated, I pour the scans quarter cup of batter right down the middle. You have to lift the pan up off the burner and pour it right into the middle. And then keep tilting the pan to make a crepe on the bottom to get the batter to go around the edges. And you'll see, when it stops doing that, you have to just put it back on the heat and bake it until you see the edges are well cooked. And then you very gently, carefully, turn the crepe over to cook the other side another 30 seconds. So, because these are going to go in the oven anyway. But now I see from the whole wheat, they don't hold together as well as white flour crepes. And maybe a little work. I'm tasting another one in here. And maybe a little work to flip these over. You know, I was doing it while I was holding the phone, so.
It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. My grandmother used to make a Hungarian version of a crepe, which was much thicker. She called it langoush, but that's not the real name of it. It's it's something else. But crepes are much thicker. But you can do what you're doing. You can make a dinner out of it. You can make a dessert out of it. I mean, it's a pretty.
What did she call them? Palacinka is the Hungarian.
She called them, for some reason, I don't know why
she
called
them Hungarian.
Yeah, but she called them to us. I guess maybe she didn't want to languish. But then I looked up for the recipe and I found they're called exactly what you said they are. And we used to have a big griddle on our big old stove. And she would make those, and they were. Well, I could sit there.
Look, these are pancakes after all.
Yeah,
we could eat them just as they are.
Yeah,
either with a little jam on them, or I mean, you could roll it up too. Or just some little powdered sugar, of which I have very little in the house. I realized the other day when I considered making a chocolate glaze for the chocolate chiffon cake that I did not have 2 cups of confectioner's sugar in the house. What I had was, I have a sugar shaker that's got enough to put snow on top of a chocolate cake, but that's about it. No, there's a lot you can do with the crepe. And they can, as I said, they can be savory or they can be sweet. And just the other day, I was talking to Rome. I was on Skype with Iris. And she said, I made your recipe. This is, I think, from Naples at Table. For crespelle. These crespelle, that's an Italian word for crepes. There are other words, too. Crespiloni, crespolini, anyway, all variations on that word. These crespelle are made in a restaurant in Ravello, and they're filled with ricotta, which is very typical, and diced salumi, meaning salami and ham, and cheese, maybe caciocavallo, provolone, I forget what all cheeses are mixed in with the ricotta. And the presentation is really the only thing that makes it a restaurant dish, because these are totally typical, southern Italian crespelle filled with ricotta. Some people call them manicotti. In fact, I bought some stuffed manicotti here in Brooklyn in an Italian market, and when I got them home, I could have sworn that they were made with crepes, but then when I went back to the market, they said, no, it was pasta, so I don't know. It was overcooked pasta. Anyway.
I said, overcooked pasta, call it something else.
So Iris was the only thing that makes these a restaurant dish is that instead of laying them out in a pan, you cut them in half on the diagonal, and you pack them into a baking dish with the exposed filling on top, and then you put tomato sauce on top, of course, Ravello, and bake it. So, and she was raving about. She said, "I followed your recipe to the T, and it worked out perfectly." And truthfully, I've made these many times since I wrote that book. But I don't even look. That's one of the, interestingly, one of the few recipes I don't make from my book. I also follow the recipe to the T because I'm always insecure about the recipes. But, you know, most 99% of the time, my recipes, at least for me, work out just perfectly. But I realized I have crepe recipes galore. And when this morning, when I decided I was going to make whole wheat crepes, I of course consulted my own various recipes for crepes, and then I looked on the internet too, and I did find a recipe that from on a website called I think it's just called food.com, that a website that I normally find reliable recipes, not that I've cooked that many from it, but I look at them anyway. And I realize now that I've made mine that it was totally off base. So, again, I'm going to repeat my proportions in case you didn't get them, and it's so easy. 1 cup of milk and 1/2 cup of water. By the way, if you want, you can use soy milk for this if you're lactose intolerant or whatever. And I suppose you could use a lower fat milk than whole milk, but you're adding water. Reason I like this formula is I don't have much milk left in the house. I'm trying to get it through to Tuesday when somebody's going to bring me milk. So you really become frugal. And eggs, 2 eggs. I saw recipes for 3 eggs. No, 2 eggs. I don't want to use up all my eggs for crepes. 2 eggs, 1 1/2 cups of liquid, 1 cup of 100% whole wheat flour, no white flour added, and 2 tablespoons of butter and a good pinch of salt. And that's it. And so I have my work cut out for me this morning because I must say I like doing this. I'm not complaining. I find making crepes very meditative because you have to concentrate on the crepe. You have to stay focused. You can't multitask when you're making crepes. And then once it's done, which won't take all that long because I'm only making a single batch of batter, we'll have crepes for lunch and I'm sure a leftover for other purposes. And crepes, by the way, freeze extremely well. Put them between sheets of parchment or wax paper and stick them in a plastic bag in the freezer. Freeze as many in a bag as you might use when you want to defrost them. And or even they can stay in the refrigerator for a couple of days. You don't have to freeze them. In that case, you just put them on a plate with wax paper between them. This is just to make sure that they don't stick together. I'm tasting my whole wheat one here, and although I do have a nice wheaty flavor, I must say I really taste the butter. So you might want to reduce the butter by 1 tablespoon, make it 1 tablespoon instead of 2. I have to see how tender they'll be with only 1 tablespoon of butter, but I have a hunch that they'll be okay. And I must say, I'm not complaining. A buttery taste is not to complain.
My grandmother used to make the put Crisco on the griddle and make these things up. My favorite, I used to hate orange marmalade. But my grandmother would put the orange marmalade in, roll it up, and put some powdered sugar on it.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden,
Mr. Harned does not eat marmalade because it's too bitter for him. However, he's addicted to apricot, and we have really good apricot preserves in the house, and I know that he would enjoy that enormously. Just spread. And you don't need a lot.
No,
you don't need a lot. Schmear. Don't, you know, smear it with jam, whatever. I mean, there's so many things. You could just put cheese inside. It's delicious. And doesn't have to be ricotta. Any cheese you have in the house. Instead of a grilled cheese sandwich, make a cheese crepe. Okay.
Well,
I'm also going to make macaroni and cheese today.
There you go.
I bought the cheese for it a couple of weeks ago. It's in a sealed, plastic, so it's okay. But I bought it some extra sharp cheddar with the intention of using it for mac and cheese, which I've yet to do. I have all the that, but again, milk. I may have to wait for that because I'm not sure we have enough milk.
Now, do you just
make mac and cheese?
Now, do you just make it with the crusty top, or do you put anything else in it?
Well, I make a different mac and cheese than I have for most of my life. But for the last 10 years, I make a recipe that's in a cookbook published in the early 70s. It was Cecily Brownstone's AP, Associated Press cookbook. She was still to this day, the longest-running food editor in American history, and influenced more people than anybody gives her credit, because she was the most syndicated food column for 47 years. Anyway, her recipe is a very old-fashioned recipe, and one reason I like it is I have the perfect bowl to make it in. So it's a ceramic oven-proof bowl, and in it I beat up eggs, milk, add hot milk, cheese, and the macaroni, and it gets baked in a bain-marie. So it's sort of a custardy macaroni and cheese, as opposed to a bechamel macaroni and cheese.
Sounds
and it looks great in this bowl. This is a turn of the. This is a set of nesting ceramic bowls that I bought at a tag sale, probably in Sharon, by the way, and I've treasured it since I own it. Now I have at least for the last decade, it has a real purpose in that it has the exact right bowl for me to be doing that.
Now, do you put?
But otherwise, you can make a white sauce. You make a bechamel. You know, make a roux, a white roux. Add milk. Melt your cheese in it, add your macaroni, put it in the oven if you want a crust. I add buttered crumbs to the top, maybe buttered crumbs mixed with a little cheese,
yeah,
and bake it in the oven.
Yeah, I like that. I like that style. I don't like I don't like the macaroni and cheese made with a lot of other ingredients in with the macaroni and cheese.
No, I don't need this. Sure. You know, and as I get older, I want things purer. I was just commenting on this the other day that, I had some nice, beautiful zucchini. We had just gone to the market, and my nephew said, "Oh, what are you going to do with it?" I said, "I'm just going to steam it and put some oil and lemon juice on it." He said, "That's all?" I said, "That's enough. You know, if it's good zucchini, why do anything more?
Yeah,
salt, oil, squeeze a lemon."
Well, I love zucchini when I hollow it out and I put. I put stuff
all
in
right,
it.
All right, yeah, but it's a project.
It's terrible, too.
For everyday dinner, steamed zucchini with oil and lemon juice is just perfect. And I don't know. I think I'm just, as I say, as I'm getting older, I want things simpler.
All right. Well, I hope that you get enough food in this food this week.
We'll see what happens today. My neighbor, who swore she was never going into a supermarket, again, after a bad experience. She's a member of the Park Slope Food Co-op, which is the oldest food co-op in the country, maybe the biggest, too. Anyway, she waited an hour and 55 minutes just to get into the store the other day, after she said, "I'm never doing that again." But, you know, she's a big deal at the co-op. She's an old, old member, and she sort of knows everybody. So it was... Even though everybody was standing 6 feet apart outside on the street, they were having conversations through their masks.
All right, Arthur. Well, stay healthy, you guys.
So here's a little bit of coronavirus wisdom. There was a question the other day is, how do I keep my glasses from fogging up while I'm wearing a mask?
I hate that. You're right. How do you do
it? And the answer is you don't.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I've now taken to not wearing my... I go out for a walk on the street. There's almost nobody on the streets. It's very safe. And I live by a park. I don't go into the park, but out around the park there's nobody. I just don't wear my glasses. Fortunately, I don't need them to actually see.
Well, you have to understand, as a broadcaster...
Except the credits on a movie, you know.
As a broadcaster, I hate that it fogs up my glasses, and I also hate the muffled sound coming back into my mouth, but I'm slowly getting used to it, so...
Well, we're all going to get used to it, because everybody on TV is muffled now.
Yeah,
and also, what I mean, one... thing that I think is interesting during this is that we get to see inside so many people's houses.
That's right.
You know, I'm a very nosy guy, and another week I will comment on the interior decoration of various commentators who were on TV broadcasting from there. Everybody's showing off all their books. Have you noticed?
Yes, exactly.
Even in an age when nobody wants books, I can't get rid of my books, but there they are.
All right.
Everybody loves their books.
Arthur, have a good weekend. Stay safe.
You too. Take care, everybody. Stay healthy.
All right, bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.